Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that your word declares that we are an elect people, Father. That we stand before you as a chosen people, a people of promise, Father. A people of destiny, Father. A people in whom, O God, you mean to accomplish things that stand in the stature of your glory and your greatness, Father. You mean to unveil us as morning stars in heavenly places. You mean to manifest us, O God, as a people in whom, O God, you have declared, O God, an awesome work, Father. You mean to express each one of us in your greatness. You mean to express each one of us as the product of your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. You mean to express each one of us as being a people alive to the counsels of your will. You mean to express each one of us as an expression of your strength and your courage, O God. You mean to express each one of us, O God, in a freedom and liberty that is of the truth, Father. You mean to express each and every one of us, O God, in a reality that says that we take delight in the fear of the Lord, Father. You mean to express us in a faith that will move mountains, Father. You mean to express us in a love, O God, that will never fail, Father. You mean to express us, O God, in a spirit of humility, Father, that will truly understand that you are the great God, that there is nothing, O God, greater than you, Father, that we, O Lord, are privileged, O God, to know and understand that you are great and most high, that you are the almighty and all-sufficient God. And we are called, O God, to realize this reality, and in realizing this reality, O Lord, being able, O God, to bow before you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Because we amongst all people are elect, O God. Elect, O God, and chosen, O God, to understand, O God, your greatness. You mean to unveil our hearts to your greatness. You mean for our hearts to understand, O God, some growing measure of that greatness. And be able to live, O God, in the glory of who you are and all that you are. So Father God, open our hearts, O God, that we may understand, O God, in a revelation released into our hearts, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the merits of the Lamb, that we are a people chosen to be, O God, a growing success. That in each one of us you mean to express, O God, some element, O God, of your awesome wonder, Father. So open us, O God, to the understanding of your word. Release, O God, your word to us in a witness that will live and grow in us so that we can understand and see all things in the wonder of you. So let there be light, Lord. Let the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus be released into our hearts, O God, that we will receive and realize the treasure of the bright and morning star, so that we will come into the understanding of the exceeding greatness of your power, Father. And we will no longer do things, O God, merely in our strengths, Lord. That we will understand there is something infinitely greater available to us because we are an elect and chosen people, Father. We bless you and thank you for the process of election that is being fulfilled in each one of our lives through your saving grace. We want to bless you and we want to thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Your election by God. Your election by God. We are a people elected by God. Elected by God to receive His blessings and His promises, to receive realities of His glory. So we are an elect people, and we want to look at the meaning of that. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Let's read from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. We are an elect people based on the foreknowledge that God expresses over each one of us. You're not here by chance. You're here because God has chosen you to be here. You're not here because of your own free choice. You are here because God has moved you to an understanding of who He is. He has moved you to an understanding of what His saving grace is all about. You are chosen to be something in the context of all eternity. Hello. You are chosen to be something that God has ordained to be manifested in all eternity. That God is in this election of you as a son unto Him, chosen to bring you forth as a unique creation that He will fashion and mold so that you will stand in His purposes in all eternity. Election is not something that we can take lightly. We need to understand it. It has to be manifested in our hearts, not as a theology, but as a conviction. And that conviction you can only receive from God. That conviction cannot be taught to you. It has to be revealed to you. It has to be something you receive and realize in your heart. This election is not something that God does arbitrarily. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. He's always there. God is omnipotent. He's almighty and all-sufficient. He is self-sufficient. He is eternal. God is self-existent. He is I am. He has always been. He will always be. Amen. And in the reality of being a God who knows all things and is able to do all things that He chooses to do, God has chosen us. He has chosen us from the foundations of the world. He has known us before our unformed substance. And He has chosen us to be a people set apart unto Him. Now the reason, the basis of this choice is the person of Jesus Christ. The basis of this choice is the person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has chosen us to be elect. And the reason why He has chosen us to be elect is that in Jesus Christ, God's law has been fulfilled and God's blessings have been opened. Because in Jesus Christ, God established the blueprint for the sons of God. And it is the sons of God who are called to be the elect of God, chosen so that God can accomplish the works that He has ordained for the universe that He created. And so you must understand that God's purpose in our lives. It is great to understand that we are predestined. It is great to understand that God has known us from the foundations. But you must understand that He has known us from the foundations in the reality of Jesus Christ and all that will come into our lives in the name of Jesus. As we stand here, there are people who are elect and there are people who will fall out of that election, out of their own choices. And the difference between those who will rise to be the elect of God and those who will fall out of the election of God is our willingness to accept Jesus Christ. Because this election, this choice of you and me as sons of God is something that God opens to us in the merits of the Lamb. So Jesus Christ is the blueprint for a new man. Jesus Christ is a blueprint. I'm talking about Jesus Christ now, okay? The Messiah, all right? The Son of Man, right? He is the blueprint by which the sons of men will realize the position of becoming sons of God. It is the sons of God who are the elect of God. And their election is in places, right, that today we cannot really appreciate, far beyond our intelligence, far beyond anything that we can conceive. It is of the power and greatness and glory of God. So it's very important for you to understand election so that you make the right choices in the life that you're living today. That you understand that Jesus Christ is a priority for your life in all eternity. We often think that going to Harvard and Cambridge is the big priority of our lives, or to have become a successful businessman or to become a successful professional is the ultimate prize in life. It isn't. It is not that God is saying you cannot be a successful businessman or you cannot be a successful professional. God is telling you that success is not made in the things of the world, that the success that He is talking about is something that He will create in Christ Jesus. So you remember Ephesians 2:10, that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. It is through that process of creating you in Christ Jesus that you and I become the elect of God. And this is a position that none of us deserves. No one past, present, and future will ever deserve the expression of being elected by God, of being elected by God. It is an act of supreme grace. It is an act of supreme grace because none of us deserves it. But it is something that God wants to bring forth in each and every one of our lives. And with that view, He has given us Jesus Christ. And He says, are you willing to discover a new you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to discover a new you in the character and nature of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to receive Jesus and realize a new personality, a new character, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things, a new way of looking at your own self, a new way of understanding what your purpose in life is? A new way of realizing who you actually are. It is because of the reality of election that Satan seeks so vehemently to destroy us. Because once he was the elect of God too. And somewhere along the line, and this is speculative, God must have told him when he fell, that I will raise from the dust of the ground your replacements. So in Romans chapter 16 verse 20, God says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. And in us realizing that position, we become the elect of God. Because God would have done something in each one of our lives to destroy evil once and for all. To destroy every stronghold of evil. And this will be the work of God. But He will use vessels like you and me. And so as you go through your life and you go through the difficulties of your life, as you see the repercussions of foolish choices we have made in the past, don't lose sight of the fact that God has called you to be His elect. Don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't let the evil one con you. There are no solutions in the world we live in, only apparent solutions. If you really want to understand that, take a trip to an old folks' home and look at the faces of the people there. Or look at your own family or family members who are growing old. And you will understand that the people who have chosen to live in the world, who once thought they had success and position, that it's a fallacy. And you can check it out. There are millions of old people around. You can check it out. Go and have a look. Talk to them. Look at their eyes. Look at the things that are a priority on their hearts. Look at how they speak and how they talk. Look at the depressive thoughts. Look at the loneliness. Look at the sense of failure. Look at the sense of uselessness. And understand that God is offering you something infinitely beyond that. You know, when we have money and we have position and we have influence, we think we are something else. It's a fallacy because it will surely pass away. And the day you lose your position in the world does not remember you anyway, anymore. The world will no longer even address you anymore. It'll just pass you by. You are finished, old man. Let me take over. And the same cycle begins. And the young man who thinks he's going to be the biggest success that ever was starts, and one in a million will rise to be a big success. But he too will pass away with his success. History has proven it over and over and over again. You have read of Caesars who died like dogs, who were worshipped as gods and died like dogs. You've seen rulers who apparently were called great. At the moments of their death and their passing away, all that greatness didn't mean a blooming thing. So God is talking to us and He's telling us that in Christ Jesus He has opened to us a great and awesome position of being the elect of God. All right? And being the elect of God has to be a reality that God has to open inside of you and build inside of you. A sense of destiny. He has to open it inside of you. It is a revelation that God has got to give you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and verse 16. God tells us something about how this reality of election is built inside of us. And He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Very interesting, huh? The glory that will be revealed in us. The truth of the Christian faith, the truth of whether God is real or not, the truth of whether you are chosen or not, is always manifested inside of you. God talks to you from the inside. God builds you from the inside out. That's why the Bible says that faith has an evidence. And true faith has an evidence of God. True faith has an evidence of you being blessed because of who God is. faith in truth manifests an evidence inside of you. The question God is posing towards all of us is whether you are willing to spend the time to receive and realize that evidence. Because there are many choices open to us in everyday life. There are many ways in which we can choose to live. If you believe you must have a fleet of cars parked under your bed every night and you live your life for that, you probably will achieve it. But you will lose all other things. All you will have is your cars. But if you think that it's absolutely necessary that every tap in your toilet is gold, pure gold, then of course you can go after it and you can probably realize a position where you will have taps of gold. I hope they bring you a lot of joy. But in pursuing that, you have mortgaged all of your life and all of the options of life to that pursuit of having gold taps in your toilet. And if you believe that that's absolutely necessary in order that I will be recognized, oh boy, will you be recognized? Right? That I will have these gold toilets, gold taps in my toilets. Right? Yeah. So you will mortgage all of your options in life for the pursuit of that. I want greatness. I want everyone to recognize who I am. There have been people who have done that. The psalmist, God poses a question to the psalmist. And he says, you are telling me that why is it that the wicked seem to be so successful? And why is it they seem to hold so much of power? Why is it they seem to have so much of influence? And God poses back the question. Have you seen them after they are dead? You will never see them again, and they will never be again. And so God is opening our eyes to this fact that we are elect, and we need to discover that. That the Word of God has been given to us in the name of Jesus, so that we will discover this position of being the elect of God. Of having a cry in our hearts that God is our Father, Abba Father. And you will realize that as God grows inside of you, as the reality of God grows inside of you, your priorities in life change. There are so many things you once thought were absolutely necessary for your life. They no longer are there. You probably have already recognized these things already. You already know in your heart that some of the things you thought you should pursue when you were a young man or a young woman no longer seem to be all that important. Something has changed within you. Your reality has changed. Your value system has changed. Your character has changed. Your perception of things has changed. God has brought inside of you something that is beyond what we see and measure in the system of the world. So you will find that in the book of Hebrews, God talks about men and women who had this sense of destiny in their hearts. Let's just turn very quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Big words. Complex ideas. This ark that Noah built didn't happen overnight. It was not a 5-year project or a 10-year project. It was a project of probably several hundred years. And Noah spent a long time building that ark. And people must have thought he was a damned fool to spend his time building this thing that nobody needed. It was the middle of nowhere. All around him was land. And Noah spent his time building this ark because God had spoken to him. Right? You need to hear God speak to you. That is why it is so important that you open your heart to God. And one of the things we want to teach you in this ministry is for you to find God for yourself, so that God can talk to you, so that He can put into your heart a sense of purpose and destiny. So Noah did something that nobody else thought was worth anything. You know, so often people think that being a Christian is a cop-out, you know. You run away from the tough choices of life. It's not true. Noah made a choice in life that nobody else made. There were no apparent rewards in that. But through this man, God gave an avenue for the continuation of the human race. You can't have a greater purpose than that. But in order to appreciate what he went through, you have to appreciate things in the mind of Christ. So God has to open that to you through his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. By the word of God. Rhema is the living word of God. The word of God that is made alive to you. And rhema is of the spirit and life of Jesus. The word that is explained to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. And when you receive the spirit and life of Jesus, the spirit part of it is an enabling to see things in a different light. The life part of it is an enabling to realize a different lifestyle. It is the Spirit who enables that new lifestyle. And God wants us to receive and realize that through His Word. This sense of being elect unto God is something God has to put into your heart. I have a tremendous sense of purpose in God. It's something I've received from God. It's a sense of purpose that is above any other kind of purpose. In fact, today as I stand, I can't see any other purpose for my life except to serve God. I don't want any other purpose except to serve God. In all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength, I don't want any other kind of purpose but the purpose of serving God. And I once was a young man who was at the top of my class, and I wanted to achieve so many things in my own brilliance. I went after it with all of my heart, soul, mind and strength too. And now with all of my heart, soul, mind and strength, I renounce all of those things that I used to pursue to the exclusion of all else. Today I pursue a purpose in God to the exclusion of all else. But it's a purpose I have received from God. It's an evidence of life. It's a sense of destiny that I have received from God. Somebody listening to me say that will think this is a real fool. He must live in a fool's paradise. But honestly, it is because of the God whom I know that I have this sense of my purpose in Him. It is something I have received and realized from the heart of my God, the heart of my Savior. Noah didn't have anything like what I have experienced in God. Noah probably saw a vision and God talked with him, and he obeyed God. But he didn't have Christ Jesus to make the reality of this God whom he was talking to alive in him as a continual reality. You understand what I'm saying? As a continual reality and a witness. He didn't have that privilege. So when you understand that he didn't have that privilege, you can appreciate what a great man he really was. How much of courage it took. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's look at other people who had this sense of being the elect of God. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How do you like that? He went out not knowing where he was going. All he knew was that God talked to him. And God had given him this commandment to leave his family, leave the world that he knew, leave the situations and circumstances that he knew, and go out because I've told you to go. Where? I was not told. I was just told to leave my family and go. So verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't see it, but he knew that he was part of that city that God was going to build, the New Jerusalem. Now he lived 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago, he was looking for a city. And he walked out to realize to plant the seeds of faith that will result in that city being built. Amazing, isn't it? All because God told him. And when he obeyed God and he went through the difficulties that and the obstacles of going out to obey God, God prospered him. It was not that God left him in a vacuum. God prospered him and God was real to him. God made a covenant with him. But you see, he was looking for something that God will build. Today we stand 4,000 years later, and so many things that Abraham stood for have become unveiled to us. We are not in the same situation that he was in. We have seen Christ come. We have seen the seed of Christ being planted. And we realize that we have all become heirs of the promises God gave to Abraham because of the seed of Christ that is alive in our hearts. We didn't earn it, but it has been opened to us. We have seen our lives change. We have seen God change our lives. We have seen God bring us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has healed us from sickness and pain. God has given us a second chance in life. God has put our marriages back together. God has brought peace into our homes. God has brought sanity to our minds. God has brought peace into our hearts when there was only turmoil. God has changed the selfishness, the pride, the anger, the lust into love. God has seen lives that were lived in dissipation, wondering why is it nothing works in my life. And God has suddenly brought order into that life. And we have all got our little testimonies of what God has done with our lives. But you must understand that what God has done with you is He's building a city. And you are an element in that city. The character of that city is going to include you as a person. And you're going to be a unique part of that great city. That great city that will rule the universe. That great city that will have the highest and greatest positions and prominence that anybody can think of. Far greater, infinitely greater than the influences of the great men of the world who have lived. Because you are the elect of God. Because this city is going to be built by God. It's going to carry the character of God. It's going to be an expression of the power of the Almighty God. It's going to be an expression of the brilliance of the Most High God. This is going to be His greatest creation. Greater than the entire universe that God created. Because out of this city will come the purpose in which the universe was created. Out of this city will come forth the government that will rule the universe. Out of this city will come a people with a deep sense of the reality of God. Everything they do will be an expression of this God who has done a great work in their lives. And that's why it is so important that you receive and realize the salvation of God in your life. Because you cannot have this sense of destiny without realizing God's purpose in your life. You see, salvation is not about just going to heaven, brother. Salvation is about God's purpose in your life. Salvation is about you realizing what God can do with you. So that one day you will be able to understand God can do things infinitely beyond what you can do. And you will be able to go out and do it because you know God will come through. Because you have seen it in your own life. Not because He did it in Moses' life, or He did it in Paul's life, or He did it in Peter's life. He's done it in your life. Praise the Lord. So this sense of election, God has to develop inside of your heart. Right? This sense of election, God has got to develop in your heart. And the way He brings that is as you receive and realize His saving grace. Are you with me? So you need to understand that you have to forgive those who have hurt you. You have to forgive that. If you're going to see your family change, you have to release your husband from your condemnation because of all the mistakes he has done in his life. If you don't do that, you will not see the power of God's salvation manifest in your life, manifest in your husband's life, manifest in your children's life. You have to have the courage to understand. There are many things we love. Sometimes it is amazing what we love. We love to be angry. We love to be unforgiving. We love to be lustful. But God's love is different. And God wants to bring into you a love that will give. A love that will be able to draw from Him an abundance. He wants you to be a creature of abundance. If you have love in your heart, God will give you more than you ever imagined. But to understand this, you have to realize a reality in God like Noah did. He built an ark in the middle of nowhere. Abraham left all that he knew and went on a journey to where he did not know, just knowing that God had called him. You must be willing to trust God to bring that purpose into your life. A young man and a young woman get married. You must understand that the fundamental reason for Christian marriage is because the two is better than one. That the fundamental reason for Christian marriage is so that there will be a greater manifestation of the greatness of God. Instead of one life, two lives will achieve more than those one lives will ever achieve in themselves. That's the reason to get married. What's the reason of having children? So that the inheritance that the parents receive in God will go and be expanded down the generations. That the generation of the children will be greater than their parents. Because God would have done a greater work. Because of the great work that he had accomplished in their parents' life. This sense of election, that your generations are elect in God. You as parents have to take hold of it. If you think life is about sitting and having your whiskey in the club and meeting all of those influential friends, then so be it. But tell me, where will your influential friends be 100 years from today? You know, sometimes in career development plans, you know, the one of the favorite questions management poses to you is, where will you be in 10 years' time? Hello, brother, the Bible tells us already where we shall be forever. So he asks you 10 years because he won't ask you 30 years, because 30 years he will fire you and replace your overpaid job with some young punk who comes out of university who knows it all. Right? But this sense of election, if you understand this reality of elect, of being elect, you will begin to see the Word of God as a totally different document. You will begin to understand that God is using you to build something, that you have purpose. You may be an insignificant person, but when God has done with you, He will give you His best. And right now we don't really know what God's best is all about. But if you look at Jesus Christ, you realize you have the character and nature of someone whose faith and love is amazing. Just imagine that if God has chosen to invest all of Jesus Christ inside of you, what will you be? Where will you go? Where will you stand? What will you achieve in your life? What can God do with you if you are in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ? Open your heart and hear. You know. Then it doesn't matter that you drive a beat up old car, because a lot of your cash goes into the building of the kingdom. Then you will understand that there is more to life than just having a big house and a big car. There's so much more that you can receive and realize. There's so much more you can participate in. Are you with me? So when we talk about things like ministry, it is about finding another higher purpose. You know, it may not look so dramatic talking to an old man across the fence, or sitting down and counseling someone who is half dead, or sitting down and talking to a teenager who doesn't know whether he's going right or left, and yet thinks he knows everything. It may not even seem like a fruitful labor. But you will learn lessons in life that will help you. That as you persevere with the small things in God, you will find that one day He will multiply those small things to become great things, because He is a great God and you are His son, whether you are male or you're female. Right? You are the house of God. He has chosen to put His name inside of you. He has chosen to manifest His heart inside of you. He's chosen to open His eyes inside of you. Right? That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16. When Solomon built the temple, God told him, the reason for this place is so that I can put my name there, and I can put my heart there, and I can put my eyes there. But the temple of Solomon is no longer around. When Jesus came and He saw, the temple that Herod built, He said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again." And the Jews laughed at Him. But the Bible says He was talking about the building of His body. We are His body. We are designed for His fullness. Just imagine if the fullness of the character and the nature, the faith and love of Jesus Christ finds expression in you. Imagine what you can be. So you have a sense of what God wants to bring inside of you. Just imagine that in you God wants to express His name. Just imagine in you God wants to express His heart. Just imagine that in you God wants to unveil His eyes. Do you understand what that means? If God unveils his eyes, can you see what you can see with the eyes of God? You know, seeing is about wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Those things that we mortgage our house and spend our retirement savings on. And in the kingdom of God, there is knowledge, wisdom and understanding that is given free of charge. Not many people are interested in that. Not many people seem to think it is practical to change water into wine. Can you imagine what will happen if you can change water into wine? Can you imagine what you can do if you can stop the storms? Can you imagine if you can take a walk down the street and there is a casket coming the opposite side, you stop that casket and you say, young man, rise and walk. Right? Have you ever thought of those kind of things? Or are we just looking for the next big deal? Are we looking at the next presentation we are making to senior management? Boy, do we really struggle over that stuff, right? Every word has to be measured, right? We sit down and think, you know, what am I saying with these words? You know, what are the implications of this word? What will they think? How will they see me? Right? How will they understand me? You know, then you sit down and wonder, I've made this presentation, what kind of questions will they ask me? And then you start sitting down and making all those guys who work for you come up with all the possible answers. And we do that. We do that for the first year, they give us a four-figure jump in our salaries. You know, and we are absolutely thrilled. Now we can buy a bigger car. Right? Now we can have a bigger loan. Right? Yeah, so you do it for 10 years. So you do it for 20 years. Then you begin to realize, right? Maybe it's not so wonderful. Don't get me wrong. There are many easier ways of doing that than just struggling on your own. You know, if you trust God like Daniel trusted God, right? What happened when he trusted God? He went into exile, right? He ended up in a king's court, right? Everything was gone. He was a prince. He should have been living in luxury. He should have been living in a position of influence. Everything should have been laid out before him. And here he was sitting as a God-fearing man in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. His whole life was down. There was no career path to look forward to. Everything was gone. And lo and behold, God takes him and he becomes the choicest of everyone in that position. Right? God gives him wisdom. God gives him understanding. He just tells him. Daniel just knows things that nobody else knows. Amen? You know, in the New Testament, we talk about the mind of Christ. And we think it means nothing. Do you know that when Jesus was walking, he knew what was in the hearts of everyone around him? Can you imagine you are in a corporate position and you know who can be trusted and who cannot be trusted? You know how different your life will be. Right? You go into a corporate deal and you know whether this guy is a skunk or whether he can be trusted. Right? Whether he will cheat you or whether this deal is worth it. Do you know how much of aggro you can save? How many years of your life will be saved? But we somehow or other think that we are smarter than God. And God is saying, you know, there are so many other ways you can do things. But it takes time. It doesn't come easy. It takes a continuous process of making choices. You don't end up in the election of God by sitting on easy street. And you may say, oh my goodness, it is too hard. No, it's not too hard. It is just allowing God to come through. What happens when you live in the world? You still work hard. I know guys who work 16 hours a day. Maybe that's an over-exaggeration. Definitely 12 hours a day. Year in and year out. Just going after things and working and working and working and working. Nothing else comes in their life. Wife and children, they probably see once a year. I mean, take a good look at them. Oh my goodness, this is my wife. And suddenly notice that there are two wrinkles under her eyes. Where have I been?
Yeah. So in 10 years of this chase for the career, there's no marriage. But the marriage is put together because there's so much of money at stake. She won't go and he won't go because, you know, if they divorce, the money will disappear. Right? So we will tolerate it and we will do it for the kids. And then when they are 60 years old, the kid comes and he takes it all and he disappears and he leaves the old folks in an old folks home. Oh boy, that is a different kind of election, isn't it? And boy, you elected for all of those things that happened to you when you ended up in an old folks home. You made all those choices that resulted in you being in an old folks home, brother. So everybody elects to do something in their lives. Don't think you're not doing anything. The devil just tells you, my goodness, you are predestined for greatness. I mean, has anyone been as intelligent as you? So what happened to all the Rockefeller wealth? It's gone. The family doesn't own the wealth anymore. It's gone. So what will happen to Bill Gates' wealth? The same way the East India Company went too. Right? Hello? The same way the Roman Empire went and the same way the British Empire went. So where is all that? For we rule Britannia. The sun never sets on the British Empire. We'll take a walk in Britain today and see the empire. Right? All made out of choices. Right? Choices. Everybody makes choices. So make choices as the elect of God. Make choices where God will take your life and mold you and shape you. We are afraid of molding and shaping. But it's so necessary, guys. Amen? So necessary. Right? To understand that. So Abraham made a choice. He decided to help God with his promises. And boy, did he create a disaster. You know how many lives have been lost because Abraham made a choice, the wrong choice? History has shown that. Today, history is there again. Threat of war and more war and more war and more war. Now, how many people are going to lose their life? Because he didn't listen to God. He decided to make a choice for himself. Decided to help God with his promises. All right. Divine election in Christ Jesus. That's why it is so important for us to understand as Christians that all of the promises of God are given to us in Christ Jesus. You can't receive the promises of God if you don't grow in Christ Jesus. And the reality of Christ Jesus is a mystery. It has to be revealed to your heart. Only God can tell you who Jesus is. Only God can tell you what you really have in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Paul was so sure of his election in God that he was prepared to go, even though he knew at the end of it all he was going to be killed. He was prepared to go to Rome, even though he knew that he was going to, at the end of it all, he was going to be killed. He knew it. And yet he chose because of that sense of election in his heart that he had to go. Agabus the prophet comes and tells him, you're going to go there as a prisoner. They will take your life. Paul had already been warned of that he was going to be taken into prison. And yet he said, I will make the choice. Why did he make that choice? Was he a silly fellow? No, he realized that his election in God was more important than his life. And he wrote some of his most powerful writings when he was in prison. It shaped the thinking of the church that would come forth in all eternity. Nobody will remember Microsoft in 100 years' time. It would have come and gone. It probably will be a one-liner in the history of computers or some such thing. Correct? Today we may think everything revolves around Microsoft. When I was a finance student, I used to think, my goodness, IBM was so awesome. Today hardly anybody talks about IBM. Correct? They're still a big corporation, but they no longer are the be-all and end-all of everything. When I did the analysis of IBM financial statements, I said, my goodness, I wish I had some shares there. My goodness, my whole life would be right there before me. Yeah, time changes things, isn't it? That's the difference between what God builds in your life and what you think you're going to achieve in your own strength. Amen? So learn how to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. And discover what it means. Discover what it means to market things when God is giving you favor. But to do that, there is a process to get there. God simply says, who can shut the door that I have opened? Who can open the door that I have shut? Is anything too hard for me? So as Christians, you're asked to develop that reality in your life. You're asked, you're invited to get into this reality of your election in God. To understand there's something awesome that God wants to show you. To learn to do things differently, to rise above your position of being in problems and rise above that and see the victory of God manifest. But so many of us just change our Christianity to coming to church. But Christianity is about life, living the life that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Realizing the character that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Realizing the faith and the love that God has given you in Christ Jesus. It is not about building assets in the natural and building buildings that have large crosses on them. And having all the nice trappings of liturgy and great architecture. Who cares that the Cologne Cathedral is an architectural monument? Who cares? Or what use is it to the church today? Right? If you go to Westminster Abbey today, it's a dingy place. It's an eerie place. Why? Because God ain't there. All you find is a bunch of old people worshiping, and that's it. The rest are all gone. It's like the whole place represents death. Because the church didn't have a sense of its own election in God. It was more interested in manifesting an organization that will run the affairs and get wealth and get position and get political position. At the end of it all, the whole facade is crumbling. And God has moved on. In countries where the church was there, Christianity was there for hundreds of years, now churches have become brothels. Churches have become pubs. Churches have become temples. What happened? They lost their sense of election. But it's also become a way of life in their own nations. It is affecting every generation. Everything is changing. Every kind of perversion is being manifested. The family is being destroyed. And they don't even understand that they are being killed. In countries where you rarely saw demonic possession, it's becoming more and more alive. Right? You have entire magazines looking at you know, how to predict your future, you know. How to have a spirit guide. They don't even understand that they are in trouble. That all that will open demonic possession into their lives. So when you lose your sense of election, you lose everything in your Christian faith. So the scriptures are designed so that you will understand the sense of election, that you are chosen. But you must pursue it. It has to come alive inside of you. Now the reason for this position of election is because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law and the prophets. He has done for us what we cannot do in ourselves. And that's the thinking shift that the church has got to go into, to understand that in Christ Jesus we have a faith and a love that we don't possess in ourselves, so that God can achieve the purposes that He wants. That's why Jesus said, in my name you will do greater things than these. Why? Because my faith will be taken, it will be multiplied in my body. My love will be taken, it will be multiplied in my body. My character will be taken, it will be manifested by my people. Amen. So there are so many things that you have in your life. But ask God to give you a revelation of your election in Christ. And be sure that you start praying for your children or your grandchildren, that they are elect in Christ. You better start teaching them and speaking to them right words that will build their lives. Praise the Lord. So we will stop there. This topic is infinite. Right? So we shall stop there. So we hope that we have introduced something that will keep you thinking. Right? Your Christian faith is a reality of thoughts that God wants to impart to you. In Isaiah chapter 55, God makes the statement, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. The psalmist says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That same psalmist writes that the sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. The sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. You and I cannot have vast thoughts, no matter how intelligent we are. For God to have vast thoughts, that is something else. So, to realize those things, you have to trust God and walk into what He has given you in Christ Jesus. You know, if we end up as Christians who just handle our problems, we just come to God and we say, okay, oh Lord, I need a healing today. Right? Oh Lord, you know, I need some money in the bank. And you just treat God as being some Santa Claus that you need Him to. You will not get the sense of your election in God. Now, sometimes God pushes us into hard places so that we will be forced to turn to Him. That's probably when we came to Him. I came to the Lord when I was outside a church on a Good Friday service. Well, the first time I looked to God in a real sense of the word. Right? I was about 35 years old at that time. And I cried. Even as I saw the priest who was stripping the altar in the church, I sat down and I cried. I said, I've destroyed my life. I have nothing I want. Yet anyone looking at my life would have said, this guy is a successful guy, he's a well-established professional, he's got money in the bank, he's got no debt. But there was nothing on the inside, it was just empty. All the ideals had all been destroyed. Substance abuse, alcoholism, a career that didn't achieve all that I set out to achieve, and everything was going apart and falling apart. Relationships that meant nothing to me because I had become so selfish and self-centered. Nobody mattered to me anymore, not even myself. And I told God, I'm dead. If you exist, you need to help me. Well, he didn't answer me that time. He waited 2.5 years. But when he touched me, I knew that he was everything that I needed. I hope you have come to that point to understand that, that he is everything that you need. If you haven't, I pray that you will come quickly to that understanding so that you will not waste any more years of your life. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus says in the Holy Communion passage, remember me. Because it is in remembering him that you will understand that you are the elect of the Lord. If you don't really have a remembrance of him alive in a witness within you, you will not understand this. It is Jesus that makes you elect. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that gives inside of you a knowing that you have a destiny. You know, if I die tomorrow morning, it's no big deal. It doesn't really worry me. My sense of destiny is there. It is an evidence in my heart. It's an evidence that is there in the name of Jesus. It is an evidence that has been built inside of me in His Spirit and His life. It is unshakable. Praise the Lord. It is a reality beyond anything that I see around me. So Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, you want to see a sense of election and destiny, look at these passages, right? Verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he knew these 12 guys, 11 of them are going to run away from him. Yet he sat down with them. And he knew that he was going to rise to give them a position of election in God. None of them deserved it, except with the exception of probably John. Right? Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's going to suffer for something that is going to be manifested spiritually as a Passover. And he says, I fervently desire, even though I'm going to suffer for it. Now that is a sense of election. He knew that he was the Son of God. He had to realize that position through his death and his resurrection. He had to realize that position by putting himself subject to death. But he had this sense of election that through death there will come forth a resurrection. And in that resurrection, all those 12 guys sitting next to him will also have election in God. Amen. So he says, I tell you, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. That what I am going through will be fulfilled. And this sense of being the elect of God is a sense of fulfillment. You are the creature in which God is going to manifest fulfillment in all eternity. That's what it means to be elect of God. Now you may not be able to do very much today. But God is saying that in being the elect of God, He will achieve that. Because nothing is impossible with Him. So when you look at your children, understand that they are children of eternity. So pray that they will come alive to Jesus and pray that they will build a life through Him. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Share it among yourselves. Amen. Serve. Because the elect of God are going to be trained through servanthood. If you don't serve, you will not understand and appreciate the position that you're going to hold. So when Peter said, Lord, how can you wash my feet? He said, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. So in the same sense, Jesus said, the greatest amongst you shall be servant of all. So learning how to serve. Do you realize as parents you are called to serve your children? Hello. You make a lot of sacrifices for them. Make sure you make those sacrifices in the right light. Because you can make sacrifices and do the wrong thing for your children. You can spoil them rotten. Now, so many parents spoil their children rotten. And the reason why they spoil their children rotten is because they have got no sense of election in their own lives. All they do is accumulate wealth. And then the little guy comes out 22 years old, he's a multimillionaire. Do you think a 22-year-old who has had everything given to him will keep your wealth for you? Right? It's been proven over and over again. It doesn't work in the long run. That's why God doesn't make those kind of things for us. That's why He doesn't hand things over to us in a platter. Because election comes through an appreciation of that election. You are heir to all things in God. That's what the Bible says. But the process by which you will be made an heir is a process by which He will bring forth in you the appreciation. So in order to appreciate that you are the elect of God, Jesus says, take this and share this amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And the kingdom of God is within you. Election comes as citizenship in the kingdom of God. This sense of destiny comes as the kingdom of God opens inside of you. So when you were born again, you suddenly came alive to God. But that is just the beginning, brethren. God opened that position for you so that you will understand what God can then bring out in your life. All right. And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Understand that this state of election is only as you are a member of this body. So always, when you develop your ministries, when you build your families, when you build your marriages, make sure God is at the center of it all, because one day you will cry if you don't realize that. That's why we see a world that is crying, a world that is lost, a world that is angry, a world that thinks that it's having fun with lust, not realizing that that lust results in them losing their soul, and that lust results in them breaking their marriages. If you're not true to your wife, who can you be true to? Or if you cannot be true to your own husband, to who are you going to be true to? A little leaven leavens the whole dough. Verse 20, likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So election comes as we receive of the witness of the blood of the Lamb. It is His blood that bears witness that we are elect, that we are a select people, that we are a people of great promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a witness of the blood. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for this election that we have. And this election is unveiled in a Passover, Lord. A Passover that unveils us in the Mount of the Lord. In a position that you have given each one of us in the merits of the Lamb. And this position is attained as we remember the Master, Father. Remember what He has given us, what He has done for us. Remember and understand as we open the Word of God that every promise, O God, is because of Him. That the promises of Abraham are open to us simply because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the promises are being given to Abraham too, because of Jesus Christ. Because Abraham failed so many times in his life, Lord. Because Abraham did so many things that were foolish, Lord. And yet the promises were given because, Lord, those promises would be unveiled in the seed of Christ. And the seed of Christ would manifest the character and nature of Jesus Christ that fulfilled the law and opens the prophets to us so that we will become creatures of destiny. So as we partake of this Holy Communion, Father, we are partaking of a destiny you have given us as the elect of the living God. as the chosen people of God, as the people who have been chosen to be the workmanship of the living God, created in Christ Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit, brought alive, O God, to a new reality of being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, today we stand before you and we appreciate very little of all this. But when we look at Noah and we look at Abraham, Father, we realize, Lord, that they had an even lesser sense of that appreciation. And so, Father, we thank you that through their lives you have borne testimony, Lord, that what you have built in the Word of God has seen a continual process of fulfillment. That, Lord, through the defeats of the nation of Israel, yet, Lord, there has come forth a victory, Lord. That at the cross, Lord, you open to us a new life. You open to us, O God, a new reality in resurrection power. And as we stand as the church 2,000 years later, Lord, Father, we know that we will triumph, Lord, in Jesus Christ. We will triumph, O God, because his faith and his love cannot fail, Lord. Because, Lord, he overcame death, Lord. And if he overcame death, O God, in that reality, Father, nothing is impossible with us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that we celebrate this Holy Communion, O God, as the elect of God. So we ask you, Lord, to sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the unveiling of the prophetic dimensions of everything that Jesus Christ did for us through his life and sacrifice. And we know, Lord, that in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that the Lord Jesus opened to us in you, Father, with the strength and courage that he opened as the lion and the lamb, in the God-fearing faith that he developed, O God, through his lifestyle, Father, that overcame death, we know, Lord, that nothing will be impossible to us. So as we partake of this Holy Communion, we know, Lord, that our part in that city that will reign over the universe, Father, our part in that city will be fulfilled, Lord. And we know, Lord, we will sit with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, because that position is what we are celebrating in this Passover. And Jesus told us, Lord, it will be fulfilled. And therefore, Father, it will be fulfilled. So we thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate, O God, the consecration of this Passover in each one of our lives. So bless the church in this reality, that we will rise to the position of being the elect, O God, that we will not trade what is immeasurable for the mundane of the world, Father. Bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling to us the dimensions of his fullness that will manifest each one of us as a new creation, Father. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received. And because of what we have received, O God, in the substance of the Master's fullness, we can all understand, O God, that we will be the elect of the Lord our God. Because, Lord, the substance of Christ Jesus will unveil us as a brand new creation, able to do all things, O Lord, in a new way, in a new understanding. And that process, O God, of the substance of Christ being manifested in us will never end. And because of that, Lord, we can understand that we are the elect. We thank you, Lord, that you chose us from before the foundations of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to keep on choosing the right things, Lord. Enable us to walk into what you have given us in Christ Jesus. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The cup that was poured out for us is a witness that will manifest our election in you, Lord. It will enable us to receive and realize the purposes that you have given us. And those purposes will be unveiled to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that in his faith and in his love, in his witness and his testimony, nothing will be impossible to us, Lord. So we thank you for persevering with us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus alive in us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for making us your elect. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.